Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blood Grandmas podcast. My name is Josh. We are joined by our friends, our compatriot in Barcelona fandom, Emil Avanesi. And Emil, how are we doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good. So the club that we both follow is continually, it seems like every time we talk, in a stranger and stranger position. They currently sit only 1 point behind the top four before their massive matchup with Atletico Madrid after the break. I don't think either of us would say that their form is top four worthy at the moment. Let's chat about the win over Alaves. Pedri was great. Squad depth is just yet again showing me how brutal it is. What do you even take away from a match like that? Because obviously it's a must win, but it's the thinnest of margins for a win, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when we've talked about it, we want both. I guess, like, right now it would be ideal to get results and have them look good. And I think, just given the state of the club, and I think the, you know, they've been racked with so many injuries, and there's all the, you know, the non-injury related whatever static or upheaval and everything that's been going on. And on top of that, there's just I put this in quotes, but just kind of the normal process of adjusting to a new manager who's trying to instill, you know, this whole kind of philosophical bedrock on top of, you know, on top of tactics and everything like that. So I think right now the entire objective is, and I hate to say this, it kind of, like, it sounds irritatingly like Mourinho-esque, but the entire objective is, you know, just sort of grind out points, I think, where you can get them. Because the biggest problem, whether it was under Koeman, or, I mean, it's been a little less so under Xavi, but, you know, there's not a lot of players currently in the Barca squad who are healthy and featuring on a weekly basis that you see as, I don't know, just really kind of dangerous and dynamic and, you know, able to just, everything is a little bit laborious right now. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of getting the goals, like, even against mediocre or bad opposition, this doesn't look or seem like a side that's able to rack up, you know, a 4-5-6 goal win, even against, you know, sort of lesser competition in the Copa del Rey, or, you know, just catching a bad team in La Liga, you know, at home at the right time. Like, they just don't seem to have that in them. So I think we're still just in a different point of the weathering the storm phase, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're just riding the storm at this point. Like, they're not,
yes.
The dynamic talent you mentioned is basically Pedri, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Without a Dembele, without a Fati, Depay, there's nothing offensively.
That's the problem. Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be, and you know, ideally, in the future will be Ansu Fati, but sadly, like, we got, you know, another wave of bad news as it pertains to him. So, yeah, and I mean, Memphis looked really good at the start of the season, and now, you know, he's kind of been not featuring and not been the same player as well. So, I mean, I think it's, yeah, I mean, the best goal threat has been Luke de Jong, and kind of as we all predicted before the season. But, you know, but that's what I mean. It's un-Barca-like. Like, you have this big dude, like, just in the middle of the box trying to get on the end of crosses and head them in. But
he reminds me of Peter Crouch.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that a little bit. Yeah, he's a little more proportionate in his limbs, I think. But, yeah, he doesn't – not quite as gangly. But, yeah, functionally, he's – you know, he performs that role. And, you know, it'd be great if we didn't have to rely so heavily on that. But I guess that's the sort of thing. Barca are very much just kind of playing the hand that they've been dealt, or, you know, just kind of that they've played themselves into and all of this. So I don't know. I mean, I can't get too worked up about the aesthetics right now, just because the objectives right now are continue to nurse the club back to some degree of health and viability.
Yeah, I mean, I would go as far to say literally the only objective for the rest of the season is to get top four, no matter how ugly, how disappointed we are in the talent that Barcelona have or don't have, the talent we wish they had. Like, top four is it, because you can build on at least, because not even build, but like, how are you going to attract a soul to this rebuilding Barcelona squad if you can't promise Champions League football for at least another 12 months this summer?
Like, that's exactly just, it. I mean,
no one will show up.
No, and look, I mean, I think the club have done a good enough job of, I don't know, continuing to sell the Barca mystique and the, you know, you want to be here and all of that, in the absence of having, you know, big money or the guarantee of Champions League this year or next, you know, to throw around. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I just don't think this team is good enough to win the Europa League, but because there is the prospect of the Europa League thing. So if you can go on a run there, you know, you can secure your place in the Champions League and ideally kind of have the feel good of a trophy as well. But I frankly just don't, you know, like, you look at the other teams that are in there. Now, granted, you know, Napoli, who, you know, Barca playing the knockouts of the Europa, you know, next month, like, they're having all kinds of issues of their own and are, you know, they have injuries and stuff like that. So you can see Barca getting past there. I mean, you can squint and kind of put that case together.
Squint is a good word for this.
Right. But you have to, look, all the while, I want to see some modicum of success in the Europa League. Because right now, at this point, this team and just the way that the club was handled and everything, just where it sits right now, like, you can't act like you're too good for the Europa League right now. You know what I mean? Like, you're playing Napoli, and teams that are ahead of you in La Liga are going to be in the Europa League. You know, like, Sevilla, it's the Sevilla Cup, and they're there, and they are, you know, until we're told otherwise, I'm going to assume they're going to win. And you can't go in and pretend that you're too good for this.
Let's talk about Frankie de Jong for a few minutes.
Yes.
He has had a strange, you know, I have trouble separating him as an individual player versus, like, the impact that being on this Barcelona team would have to just about anyone of any particular range of talent. And I'm open to thoughts, opinions. I think it's kind of insane that they would want to sell him, or be even like,
yeah, that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Even like curious, like I guess anytime I see rumors kind of coming out of the sport or any of that, I always kind of think it's fed. And so I just don't understand the realm of possibility of thinking that some people have it. And I think it's a minority. I don't think that many people think he should be on his way out. But just like, I guess, what are your overall Frankie de Jong thoughts, feelings about him as a player and as a Barcelona player?
So, I mean, ever since Frankie got here, from the moment he arrived, he's said and done the right things. You know, I mean, he hasn't, whether it's missteps with the media or, you know, doing anything that any of the relatively minor infractions that can make you persona non grata in the local press or with the fan base or anything. And he's turned in moments and performances that are, you know, that exhibit the talent that he has and the kind of star that he can be. And, you know, I mean, frankly, is. But the thing is, too, he was sort of parachuted into this. I mean, arguably one of the most unstable situations at any, you know, at any mega club in the world right now. And, you know, never had. I mean, it was almost from the time that De Jong got there. I mean, I guess Koeman was essentially embattled and under fire almost from the get-go. So he was never going to really, you know, I felt like Koeman was trying too many things to essentially save his job from the beginning, where Xavi doesn't have to worry about that. You know, I mean, he can, ideally he has to produce some results, but he can legitimately kind of earnestly try things. I mean, I just feel like De Jong hasn't, I don't know if he's been deployed in the right role consistently enough. And, you know, outside of that, I mean, there's just been so little stability and just a lot of mayhem surrounding not just the club, but I mean, even the playing roster, you know, whether it was Messi leaving and, you know, speculation about this and that and everything. So, yeah, the notion that he should be sold is insane to me, because even if that was a thing that you were entertaining, even though I don't think De Jong's value has necessarily plummeted, I don't think anything's happened like, you know, that extreme, you're still, even if you decided you wanted to sell him, you're not selling high. So you're still not even cashing out if that's what you want to do at an opportune moment.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, okay, let me ask you a question and see if you agree with this. I don't think that there's been a situation since he's been at Barcelona where the players around him suit his talents the best. Like, I don't think he's been a part of a midfield that would showcase the sort of player he can be while he's been at Barcelona. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I do think that's fair. And
yeah, it's like they plucked him for this, like, because he was a very talented midfielder, as you should, but then it seems like they made no effort to situate the players around him to not compliment him, because he's not freaking Lionel Messi, but like, well, I don't know, he just doesn't fit the scheme that they're like still half trying to run from the old days, but yet trying to transition to the new stuff with like him and Pedri. Like, I don't, it doesn't make sense to me, I guess.
Well, I guess, you know, even I agree. I mean, I think you're your question, your point's valid. I think even taking a step further back and just, so one thing is, you have these guys, you have great young talent. They're, you know, guys that you got an absolute bargain who are super young and have blossomed, you know, the Pedris of the world, or, you know, the homegrown guy like Ansu Fati. So I understand those guys are going to be part of the foundation. They're part of the backbone of the ideal version of this team going forward. But at the same time, you, like you said, you plucked one of the most talented young midfielders in Europe and you added him to the team. Cool. But it goes beyond that. And while I don't think every marquee or semi-marquee signing deserves the full, you know, Messi style build around you treatment. I mean, you spend all this money on a guy, like at the very least, you know, deploy him in a way that works, because otherwise you're not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, so we're both in agreement. We shouldn't sell the Dutch midfielder.
I do not believe that we should. I mean, not unless he absolutely wants to go, or, you know, he legitimately gets a long run of games and it's just simply not working. But I don't think we're there with him.
Agreed. Let's talk about a couple of transfer things real quick. Alvaro Morata and Adamame Traore. I think Traore is the backup, is what the rumors are saying. What are your thoughts on those two as Barcelona fits? I think Morata is kind of a perfect fit, right? Like, for what we need.
Well, I mean, sort of, but there's a couple of things that are, like, in general, I kind of like Alvaro Morata just as a player in general. Like, he's got a great nose for, you know, he gets in the box. He has a great nose for sniffing out the ball and sniffing out scoring opportunities and getting into fantastic, you know, shooting places and, you know, finding chances. The problem is, like, he goes through these extended stretches of sniffing out golden opportunities and then not stuffing them in the net. And so,
that is such a good description of him. That's like, because I watched him a lot when he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it was just, that's just the perfect, that's it right there. Keep going.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, he's not lost. Like, he knows what he's doing. He just can't seem to, or he goes through extended stretches where he really struggles to just put the ball in the net. And I think the problem with that is, I mean, there was articles written last year and, you know, I think around the Euros and stuff like that, that were like, so I guess he's like, you know, he's a very emotionally driven and kind of sensitive guy. And when things aren't going well and he's catching heat and stuff like that, that tends to, rather than motivate him, it kind of tends to feed on itself. And so his form, like, when his form is bad and people, you know, fans and the media and stuff get on him publicly for his form being bad, like, his form stays bad. You know, he kind of gets lost in his own head and stuff like that. If we've learned nothing in the entirety of the club's history, but definitely in the last couple of years, like, Barca is not entirely the sort of the nurturing environment for a guy to, you know, to pop in and do that. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, it's not one of those things. He's not like, he's not one of our own. He's not like a Catalan guy. He's not an ex La Masia guy. You know what I mean? There's nothing about him that will inherently make the crowd and the local press want to give him second, third, and fourth chances if he gets off to a rocky start. And, you know, I mean, then at that point, you know, if it doesn't go well, what do you have? You know what I mean? Is he markedly better than Luke De Jong? If he's,
come on.
No, but I mean, if he's not firing, if he's not at his best.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, no, at his best, he absolutely is. But the problem is that I know he tends to go, like, everything that's been written about him, and I understand some of those kind of felt a little bit kind of like gossip pieces, but they were coherently written and sourced enough, you know, I mean, and also it lines up with what you see. You know what I mean? When he goes into a slump, he stays in a slump. It seems like.
See, I think if we were having this conversation a couple years ago about, like, who's the guy to replace Luis Suarez, and we thought it was actually going to be a real striker and not a couple of backup strikers over the next few years, I would have totally agreed that that premise was like enough to keep him from coming. But at this point, it's like, man, I just want talent. And even if there are like, we're the club is in an offensive slump. So like, even if you were to go through a slump, it's like, so what? No one else can score at this point. So it's like, I guess I'm willing. Here's the thing. Why is Traore the backup guy? They're not one-to-one fits. Like Traore to me is just like a worse, probably still going to get hurt sometimes, Dembele. Like, I don't understand why he would be.
He's sort of a, Traore is sort of a hybrid of like Memphis and Dembele. Cause he's like super jacked, but also like crazy fast.
And, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess in some sense, I think he's, I mean, there's the whole like La Masia link and stuff like that. So, I mean, I read the piece that you wrote that, you know, Xavi has quite the appetite for bringing back people who were once employed by Barca. And so, you know, so there's the La Masia thing, I guess. And, you know, he's young and he's extremely physically gifted. And I mean, I think he's meant to be a Dembele replacement because, and we can talk about, can we talk about this for a second? The Dembele thing, which is so strange.
Yeah, that was literally the last thing on my rundown.
Yeah, good.
So all right, cool. just wrapping up the transfer stuff. Yep. That's all I had for transfer stuff. So let's talk about Dembele. The latest rumor report are that after his agents met with Xavi, he wants to resign. Nick and I last week on the podcast kind of talked about the not like the character kind of assassination that had been floating through the papers of Dembele that we both kind of perceived as unfair and totally. Just not even slightly, but just kind of just racist in the nature of them. But now he wants to re-sign, which I think is, you know, if he can get a good contract is good for him. But just like, it's a very confusing situation because like, I want to watch Ousmane Dembele succeed. Mm-hmm. I want to watch him succeed at the highest levels. I don't know if that'll ever happen at Barcelona just because of how the relationship has soured over the years. And so I guess I'm not disappointed because he can do whatever he wants with his life, but I was kind of hoping he would end up somewhere else, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of that actually makes sense. So, I mean, I think there's so much to unpack with him. So I think there was actually a good article that came out two, 3 days ago on Defector about, it's about Barca in general, but it's through the prism of this whole, the Dembele saga. And now understandably, Barca want to offer him a contract and they are, but it's apparently, you know, super, super incentive laden, which honestly, for a guy who's missed nearly half of the available games since he signed, I mean, you might not like that if you're Ousmane Dembele, but I mean, you have to be able to understand it, right? But then from the flip side, I also understand where Dembele is like, no, this contract doesn't sort of max out my earning potential and, you know, and everything else. I'm just going to ride this season out and, you know, if I can go on a free, people will give me a bigger salary, blah, blah, blah. So I understand where, that's just a natural impasse. You know what I mean? I don't know what you actually do about that. The one part that I don't get, like, I think it's fine if he just runs down his contract and leaves. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why every one of these contract situations now has to turn into this, you know, horrible kind of bloody ordeal where just anyone who's not willing to pay out of pocket to wear the Barcelona shirt gets slandered. And, you know, and all these guys are saying is, you know, I have a short career and I want to do right by my career. And meanwhile, there's an entire, you know, online and print media chorus who can't wait to just excoriate these guys for having the nerve to not like genuflect at the altar of Barca. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, so, there's no nuance in the discussion either. It's either like you're at the end of your career and you're Gerard Piqué to where you can, yeah, you can give back some of your contract. You've made your money.
Yeah, your wife is worth $500 million or something. Yeah, too.
Or your, you know, Busquets or Alba, yeah, who maybe didn't want to do it as much, but still ended up doing it. Who yeah. are at the like, end of their careers. Rich.
You know what yeah. I mean? Yeah.
And here's the thing: we're not saying guys like Dembele and people like him don't already have a lot of money, but they're young in their careers and they have to maximize. Also, the thing potential.
Is, they are allowed to. He's allowed to manage his life and his career however he sees fit. Like, if all you want to do is, like, if all a player ever wanted to do was, you know, I don't care about winning trophies. I just want to make as much money as I can. Cool, man. Vaya con Dios. Like, just, you know, more power to you. And if there's other guys who are just willing to take discounts and, you know, and play for relative bargains just to be in every, you know, Champions League final and win the league and everything like that. Cool. That's your priority. But I mean, there has to be room in the world for both. And it confounds me a little bit how completely, you know, like you said, how not nuanced or unnuanced the conversation is from the Barca perspective, whether it's the, you know, the club itself, the club friendly media types, or, you know, I mean, and there's a certain level of performative fandom that happens online, which
what yeah. you yeah, don't that, say
I do say it's yeah that just that one really I don't know why that one grinds me more than everyone else. Like, not that anyone's really covering themselves in glory with all of this, but like so all of that aside, so basically I'm like, cool, Dembele, do whatever you feel like. If you don't like the contract Barca are offering you, cool, wind your contract down, go do what you want to do. What I simply don't understand, though, is this hardline stance by the club, which is fighting tooth and nail to secure a top four finish and, you know, get Champions League football back, which is vital to the, you know, not to the survival of the club, but to the survival of the club as a global mega club, at least for the time being. So this guy says he wants to stick around. He wants to play. Like, by all accounts, he's not being unprofessional. He's not saying he won't play. Let him play. He can help. It's not like there's no one snapping at his heels. It's not like he's blocking some like ascendant talent who's, you know, going to secure you top four.
No, like, and you know what Barcelona could really use right now?
Wants to help you.
Yeah, Barcelona could really use a guy on the wings that has goal scoring potential. Like, Barcelona could really use that. And they have one sitting right there.
Yeah. So like, let's chuck this dude. Yeah. Like, let's just chain this guy to the bleachers.
It's old school, like authoritarian. Yes. Like, I am the one in control. Bartomeu yes. handed out contracts left and right. You don't want to play ball. You don't play it to play football. And it's insane.
Well, I keep referencing it, it's neither a piece that I wrote nor do I have any financial interest in its success, but that piece on Defector was really good because it talked about this very phenomenon, how Barca are trying to kind of have their cake and eat it too, where it's on the one hand, they're trying to be, you know, global mega club, trying to insert themselves into, you know, the Erling Haaland sweepstakes and this and that and whatever, all the while sort of still trying to fan the flames of we are this, you know, Catalan community organization, for lack of a better term. And so apparently that all involves, you know, the players making sacrifices for the good of the institution. And I guess full stop. I don't know. Like, there's just, I don't know what's the payback? What's the counter to that?
I don't know. So let me ask you two separate questions and just give me simple answers here.
Yes.
If you, as a Barcelona fan, do you want Ousmane Dembele to sign an extension?
I mean, I'm good if he doesn't. Like, it's nothing to do with him. Like, he's great when he's healthy and good.
No, you don't need a couch. It's like
if we had that, then
I'm neutral is a fine answer.
But I think it's good. I think this relationship has run its course.
Yeah, if you as an Usman Dembele fan, because we both talked about how much we love watching him at his full potential, do you want him to resign with Barcelona or go somewhere else?
It's probably best for him if he goes. You know what I mean? I mean, the one thing that is different is Xavi does seem to really like him and want to have him as part of the team. And so that would be one of the first times, I think, that his manager at Barca is, at least on the surface, like deeply committed to having him be a, you know, be a part of the team and be a, you know, be a focal point. So that would be interesting. But I don't know. I don't know if the relationship is, I mean, I'm sure it's salvageable in some way, but I don't know how salvageable it is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all the topics I had. So tell me what you've been, you're always working on something new. Tell me what you're working on now. Are you a travel writer yet? Because that's kind of the next area I would to venture. I want to read your pieces on travel.
I hear that. Actually, no, I can send you a, I actually wrote an article for, so as I mentioned, I've been doing a lot of NFL stuff this year for Squawka. I can send you the link, but I actually did, so I've been doing some, you know, European football writing for them as well. And one of the things I just wrote, it was kind of a retrospective of guys who were publicly compared to Xavi, because, you know, and how their careers panned out. And so it's like 10 varying degrees of people who were publicly by football authorities directly compared to Xavi. And
okay, don't spoil the majority of the names so people go read it, but can you give me one of the names on the list?
Yes, I mean, I can give you I'll give
just
you
one, just one.
So Thiago Alcantara. Yeah,
you have me. I'm gonna click on the article because that's
and
perfect.
Also, I've
send me the link to that and we'll get it in the show notes.
I'll send you a link to this as well. I've actually started writing for a site called Urban Pitch. It's actually an LA based soccer based site, and I've done a couple of things for them. The first was about actually the Barca Femini and the sort of their evolution and the, I guess, the relationship too, and the growing relationship between Barca Femini and La Masia. And I've also more recently I wrote about the just some of the top stars of NWSL.
Gotcha.
So I'll send you the
very nice.
So I'll just send you the link to my sort of the writer page there. And
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, Emil, thank you for joining us. As always, we have plenty of things to talk about.
It's a pleasure as always, man.
One of these times, and I guess probably the next time we have you on, we will find out whether we're advancing in the Europa League or not. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it's going to be late February. it'll be good to know.
Okay. Well, that'll be a blast. All right, Emil, have a good one. Thank you for joining us. Everyone, check out Emil's work in the show notes, especially that article on the Xavi comparisons, because I'm especially interested to read that. And Emil, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.